5:30 on Monday, November 6th, Election Eve. Welcome, everybody, to the regular scheduled meeting of the Mount Clover Township Board of Trustees. If you please stand for the Pledge of Allegiance.
I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Before we start, we do have an executive session scheduled for this evening. Were there any other additions to the agenda that is presented for us?
I don't have any.
All right. Were there any corrections or our minutes of our regular meeting on October 16th or a special meeting on November 2nd, 2023?
I have none.
I'll make a motion that we accept the minutes as submitted.
Second.
Seconded by Vickery on motion Lang.
Yes.
Herschel.
Yes.
Vickery.
Yes.
All right, and I'll make a motion that we approve the bills as submitted by our fiscal officer totaling $274,652.08 for the attached list.
Second.
Seconded by Vickery on the motion Herschel.
Yes.
Lang.
Yes.
Vickery.
Yes.
All right. Gavin, did we have any correspondence in the last couple of weeks?
We did. We received something from the Lucas County engineer regarding the roundabout at Mount Clover and Elvin and how that will affect property owners. And I think it basically says they're in the planning phases. Once it's the design is determined, then they'll talk about property acquisition needed. I think I summarized that the right way.
Yes.
All right. Any other correspondence?
No other correspondence.
All right. We do have two public hearings, so we're going to both scheduled for 5:30. So I'll make a motion to close the general session of the meeting and go to a public hearing portion of the meeting to amend the contract for our Toledo Express Airport Joint Economic Development District.
Second.
Seconded by Lang on the motion Vickery.
Yes.
Herschel.
Yes.
Lang.
Yes.
We, a couple of months back, we had a zoning change on a small parcel of land on the east side of Strayer Road. I don't have the exact address I was looking for here. The property owner has agreed to come into our joint economic development district with our partners, Swanton Township and the City of Toledo.
That's part. I don't think that's it.
No, this is looking for. I was trying to find the address here. Like I said, this is a. We've done this before with our other economic development districts, but before we get into the public hearing portion, is there anybody in the public here tonight who would wish to speak either in for or against the proposed amendment to the contract of the district? All right. I'll make a motion then to close the public hearing portion of the public hearing, public testimony portion of the public hearing.
Second.
Seconded by Lang on the motion Lang.
Yes.
Vickery.
Yes.
Herschel.
Yes. Excuse me one second.
Hey, Don, what is the address on that Strayer Road property?
Just for the record, I want the formal address. My attorney has the file, and I'm having difficulty locating here. But this was a residential parcel that's being converted into some smaller offices space. And Eric, do you remember what the project and how many square feet that was?
It was, I don't remember the exact. I mean, it was a former group home facility, so it's larger than it was like 5 or 6,000 square feet. I thought, but I don't remember the exact square footage. But it was so larger than a typical single family home, but not as big as a lot of commercial buildings.
And this requires the participation of Toledo and Swan, since they are partners in the JED, and they have this in front of them as well, correct, Chuck?
Correct, yeah. Dawn has forwarded a copy of our resolution to Swan Township in the city of Toledo.
And it requires all three of them to amend the contract?
Correct.
And this public hearing is the process in which we need to go through to amend the contract. But we asked for this to be done, so I'm in agreement that the contract is amended and this parcel is brought in. I agree that a motion with the address would make the most sense. So we can always come back to it, Chuck.
Right.
We don't have to make the motion in the public hearing.
All right. Okay.
Are you okay?
Yeah,
with
I'm
this?
Fine. I know which parcel we are talking about. I do not have a problem with it.
Okay.
So if you want to come back later with the legal address, that would be fine.
Then I'll make a motion then to close the public hearing for the contract amendment for the Toledo Express Airport Joint Economic Development District.
Second.
Second by Lang on the motion. Herschel?
Yes.
Vickery?
Yes.
Lang?
Yes.
All right, and then we did have another public hearing scheduled tonight for a lighting district at Plat 3 for Stony Creek, which we were still waiting for some information from Toledo Edison and from the... a check from the developers, so I'm going to make a motion to continue that public hearing to 5:30 on December 4th.
Second.
Seconded by Vickery on the motion. Herschel?
Yes.
Vickery?
Yes.
Lang?
Yes.
All right. Gavin, do you have some action item in your report or some information items?
Just some information. I did get an email back from the 911 dispatch. They tried to bill us a year in advance. They will bill us quarterly. They do say the first payment will be due December 1st, so pay a quarter in advance. So I will have to. I didn't budget 2024's 911 bill in 23. So next meeting I'll bring an appropriations adjustment for that.
Okay. And Matt, are we auditing those at all to make sure that those calls, I know SWAT and Township had a discrepancy in theirs, it was off by a little bit, but do we audit those reports just to make sure we're getting billed accurately?
I can request some. We don't get any kind of monthly report or anything from them as far as that goes, but I can see what she can produce for us so that we can.
Okay. And then maybe have one of your... officers or shift leaders look at that maybe in some downtime that make sure the billing's accurate. All right. Under old business, is that it, Gavin?
That's it for me.
Right. Yep. Under old business, we have with the residential TIF that we are working on for the roundabout at Alvin and 20A. Our legal counsel informed us that the parties have agreed on the draft and the attorneys are perusing that. So hopefully we'll have that put to bed shortly. We will have a public hearing on that as well once that's put in place. Our administrator is working with the Buer Group on park improvement plans. Correct, Harold?
Yes.
All right, and then we discussed the administration building improvements there. Matt, we discussed in the working session that, and Harold, perform again. Wheatman?
Mullen Wheatman.
Mullen Wheatman.
Yes.
Of Matt maybe getting together with your command officers and Captain Bachelman and coming up with a priority list of, you know, is the dormitories a property? Is the ready room, or, you know, the room for the turnout gear, is that a priority? And coming up with a priority list so we can provide that to Mullen Wheatman and they can, with their proposal, come up with some budgetary numbers. And we're hopeful we can get that priority list, and it's, you know, hopefully going to be, you know, 5 or 6 items by January 2nd, so we can start moving forward with that process.
Okay.
We did discuss about a sauna, and I don't think you should put that on your list.
Okay.
Yeah. Well, you guys would prefer to see number 1, number 2, number 3, what is, you know, what can we do to help you guys out as far as what would be your number 1 item that you would like to see done? What's your number 2? Let's see if we can get the list and see how far we can go ahead and get this moving for you guys.
Okay, no problem.
And then also we discussed a couple of weeks ago, our maintenance supervisor had brought together a quote on some tree trimming services to get caught up with. We're falling behind a little bit on some of our projects. Harold, do you want to discuss that?
Well, Doug felt we were getting behind the 8 ball as far as tree trimming was concerned, and suggested that it should, you know, that we could contract that. And he did get he has now received 3 proposals for that. The lowest one was $40,000. I don't have that, my memo from before.
Yeah.
Anyway, there were 4 different subdivisions he felt would be appropriate to just have somebody come in and take care of the trees, and then he felt we could probably stay on top of the tree trimming after that was done.
It was Waterside, Winterborne Station, Lakeside, and Blackstone, I believe.
I believe that's correct, yes.
With the biggest one being Waterside. We did discuss it in the working session, and we thought before moving forward, we should get, I guess, there's some language in our union contract that leaves a little bit of ambiguity to make sure that we're not in violation of the contract or would not lead to any grievances.
Sure.
Did you have any?
I think there were, he identified 566 trees, I believe it was, that need to be trimmed. So the price per tree really is
about $71, yeah. Pretty affordable.
Pretty reasonable.
It is an unbudgeted expense, so this would involve an increase in appropriations. But it would, like I said, kind of help the maintenance department get caught up on some things.
Yes.
There is a lot going on in the maintenance department. Obviously, if you guys have been raking leaves as much as I've been raking leaves, so they're out all the time out doing leaves and trying to get all those collected too before it gets too cold.
Every leaf season is unique, and this year they just seem to...
They're not falling. No, I still have trees that have all these leaves
right,
on it. It's like,
right. So every year is different. They're working on it as quickly as they can.
So this just is a little quandary or a little dilemma for me. Being a fiscal conservative, is this actually a priority for our budget that wasn't there? And in some regard, it absolutely is. And in some regard, I think that this could be spaced out so that if we do have a mild winter, there are trees yet to trim. Or maybe it's so the guys... can get to the future trees. Maybe I don't know enough to make a really good decision, and our fiscal officer has talked about this not being in the budget, which is always the process we go through to make things happen. Not that we can't do things randomly, and in fact, I tell you, I think this is my suggestion. Let's get the trees trimmed. Let's get this off the to-do list. But if it doesn't make economic sense to get it off the to-do list, it can stay there. And if it's not really a priority, if it's not blocking stop signs, or if they are blocking stop signs, maybe that's where it should be started. So only 150 trees need trimmed, not 560.
But you got to understand the contract that was presented. The contract that was presented would not involve a week and then him going off and pulling his crew out for another job somewhere else and then come back. His...
Steve's can easily take 3 weeks to get this done.
There'll be 12 to 14 guys.
So I'm getting the best deal.
They will be, because he's not going to pull off and come back and say, where did I start? Pull off and start. Plus, we can't predict the weather. You said if there's a mild weather. The Bradford pear trees are way overgrown. We were kind of laughing last time about the fire trucks going through and you guys being in the middle of the road to make sure you're not hitting anything coming down some of these roads that are going through these subdivisions. And if it's a hard winter and there is ice on these trees are going to come down. And then if they come down during the middle of the night, the maintenance guys are going to be out in the middle of the night pulling trees off of the road.
That's why I started by saying this was a quandary, and maybe I didn't have enough information to make a decision. So I think, Chuck, the best opportunity is to make sure our maintenance department is on board, and then we can vote on something.
Correct.
Yeah.
I agree.
And that's why I thought we could maybe do something contingent upon a Herald meeting with the maintenance department this week, potentially.
Sure.
To see that there's no issues.
Don and I will get a...
And I know Doug and Trudy like this plan, Harold, but maybe you want to weigh in as well with an option.
Whatever.
Doesn't have to be an idea.
But Don and I will put together a little agreement so we have it in writing. Doug tells me that he's already verbally received the thumbs up, if you will, from all of the guys in the shop. They don't have a problem with this signing this contract and having this work done, but we will get it in writing.
Yeah. If not, they'll be out trimming trees in 30 degree below zero weather. I'm just saying there's a lot of stuff that has to be done and brought up in the township. These Bradford pears, thank heaven, they have eliminated us being able to plant those, right, Eric?
Right.
It's like, talk about a problem tree. So the bigger they get, the harder they are to trim. Do you guys have Bradford pears? Are those out by your church? Were those Bradford pears?
No.
You're down to one tree.
I know.
I went past and there's another big branch. So yes, it's like, Harold, you're down to one tree and half the tree is laying on the ground.
Yes.
So I'm just saying, I think it's a good idea. As far as the trees go, it's a lot of trees, 500 some trees. If you worked a big crew that they would bring in, they could knock it out in 3 weeks, and we'd be done and back to where we need for tree trimming.
And I'm just, would the entire maintenance department have to sign off of the bargaining unit? What if one person says, no, I don't?
There's a darn question.
Yes. I walked out of the meeting.
All right. I'll make a motion to approve $40,000 in tree trimming in the Waterside, Winterborne Station, Lakeside, and Blackstone subdivision for the August 29th proposals from Steve's Tree Service, contingent upon approval of the maintenance workers covered with our collective bargaining agreement.
Second.
Seconded by Vickery on the motion. Vickery?
Yes.
Lang?
No. Yeah. Sorry, Chuck.
Herschel?
Yes. Okay. All right. Are there any other old business items? All right. Under new business, I asked Deputy Chief Homick to give us, and this is not on the agenda, but he gave us a summary. We have a number of part-time and full-time positions and just kind of where we're at in the hiring process. So, Matt, if you would.
On the part-time side, we have the four new part-time employees. They're completing their orientation program that they're on, which It consists of 4 days altogether. First day, they basically do their new employment paperwork and get issued their equipment, township PPE, and that, as well as you go through a little bit about the basic operations of the department. Day two, we call the mini academy day. They spend up to about 8 hours with either our fire and or EMS instructors, and they go through our equipment, our hose loads, our EMS equipment. It's just kind of an introduction to them to get into some of the equipment that they may not be familiar with. If they've never worked with an MSA air pack, we don't want the first time they're seeing that to be when they're here on shift. So they do that in the mini academy day and go through all the EMS equipment, get a brief introduction to all of our protocols and our policies and procedures, and spend some time doing some basic skills reviews. Once they complete that, then they're released to day three and day four, which are two 12-hour shifts where they work as an extra on the shift with the crews. It gives them a chance to learn the daily and weekly assignments that happen on the shifts, to go through out on responses and start interacting with our crews and with the public, and to get comfortable that they ride out as an extra person that day, so they have direct supervision as they're still kind of learning through it. We go through all of our computer systems that we use for reporting, for scheduling, for alerting, and get them through a good introduction of that, start working on policies and procedures for them to work on, as well as equipment locations. Also, the final item on their day three and day four that they complete is the driver's training for the two ambulances, so that when they're released to work as a regular crew member, they have the ability to drive or operate at least medic units as part of the crew. All four have been through at least day three so far. This week we have all but one finishing up day four as well, and then the last recruit will finish up mid next week for day four. So after about the 15th of the month, they'll all should be released if they don't need any additional time for orientation in that. And then they can start picking up shifts.
Okay. So basically in 10 days, we'll have all four on board a day.
Yes.
Okay. Great.
So I do have a question, because I'm not following the EMS Fire 1, Fire 2, paramedic. So I think you were on the part-time, you had given a wage comparison. So out of the four that are coming on board, are any of them a, I don't want to say a licensed paramedic, but a certified paramedic?
So two of the part-time hires that we made were our paramedics.
Okay.
One of those part-time hires is interested in the full-time positions that are open as well, so he is wanted to start with us part-time as well, and he's put in interest for the full-time position. But the Fire 1, Fire 2 is relevant to the full-time position that where we have openings. So when we hired originally, we hired Firefighter 2, which is what the state of Ohio requires for a full-time employee. And then when we hired initially, we did a mix of EMT, advanced, and paramedics. We changed on this posting to try to broaden the pool of applicants, and the pension system will allow either a Fire 1 or a Fire 2 to start in the police and fire pension. If they're a Fire 1, they have to have, within their first year of employment, complete the Fire 2 certification.
So they have a year.
So they have a year, and it's a transition class that they'll go from the level Fire 1 up to the level Fire 2, so they don't have to complete the whole Fire 2 class like they don't have training. It's a transition course that they take.
Second question, the state of Ohio, I think it was the governor, because of the problem with getting firefighters and things, they had extended the hours that a part-time fire person could work without having to whatever, and that's supposed to expire at the end of the year.
Correct.
Have we heard any updates at all from Columbus if this is going to the deadline that is going to end accumulating hours for part-time over, what, 1,500 hours or something?
Yeah, 1,500 was the original one. It went, it increased up to 17,9 or something. It was somewhere close to that number. I forget the exact number. There hasn't been anything coming out on any of the legislative updates or anything from the Ohio Fire Chiefs or that to indicate there was a change with that.
Do we have anybody coming close part-time to over the original part-time hour situation?
I don't believe so. I mean, I can run some reports and double-check, but we usually don't have anybody that's too significantly high on the numbers like that.
So can you, on your report for the next meeting, can you take a look at if there's anybody going over the 1,500 that was the original? And if you could stay on top of if they're going to extend the part-time hours because of the shortage, because I do believe it ends at the end of this year, 2023.
So
we need to be on top to see. I'd like to know if there's anybody over the 1,500 hours part-time. And also, if you want to keep following and keep track of that December 31st date through the Firemen's Association or however you're notified.
Yes.
Thank you.
Yeah. And then, in addition to that, on the part-time side, like I said, we're going to conduct the month of November here some attendance reviews to try to address any people that have been delinquent on their requirements for the part-time, get them up into compliance so that we can have the additional help with the shifts. On the full-time positions and openings we have, earlier in the month of October, I reposted the they had expired on the websites originally for the job boards, so I reposted them on the job boards with an end date of November 30th to give us hopefully some more applicants. We have a total of 5 applicants, basically. I've spent the time over the last month going through some of our on-file and valid applicants and trying to reach out to some of those applicants who've applied here in the past to see if they're still interested in the position. Several we had from the initial hiring that we did following the levy that were paramedic students, trying to update with them and see what their status is, if they've completed their paramedic certifications now, because they would have applied under the previous one. So hopefully we'll be able to maybe garner a couple more from that. We do have several current employees that are in the paramedic programs and that are in the same boat, that they're finished with classes, finishing up clinicals, and then having to do their testing with National Registry to get certification. And some of those are Fire 1, some of those are Fire 2, and some have expressed interest in full-time employment. So we have a couple candidates within as well.
So would you say express interest, have they formally applied?
They have not formally applied anything. I've talked with a couple of them to see where they're at with their paramedic training and certification and made sure that they were aware that we were hiring. And, I mean, our application says that you have to have your paramedic. So, I mean, I told them that if they were interested in the position, that it wouldn't hurt to put in the application or the letter of interest. And then, obviously, as we move forward with it, and they move forward with completing their testing for their certification, we would know a little bit better.
I know we had discussed before about advertising for anything for lateral moves or anything. Was that stuff actually posted in the job description and ad?
We did not. I did not get anything back yet. We discussed it. I know we were working on Dawn. I think Dawn was working on some policies with the lateral. I think it was Dawn. I'm not sure.
So there's nowhere then that's been stated anywhere.
I think it was.
But a lateral transfer normally is a benefit for someone who has like tenure at a department, and they're coming here to, instead of starting out at the ground wage that we're offering, they would start at the step wage that they left at. We don't have a step program for our wages. That was something that we presented a while back, but we didn't take any action on that. So we don't have a step wage program, so we don't have anything under the Ohio Revised Code. If they transfer from city to city, village to village, township to township, they get seniority as far as their vacation goes, so they wouldn't start over at step one on vacation, and they get a transfer of their sick leave, but which is what we have, and we honor that now. But currently, other than that, there's not really much benefit of a lateral transfer because we don't have a change in a step wage or anything that would entice somebody to come and leave from there.
I just was trying to figure out a way to get somebody a little bit more experienced to, you know, consider Monclova Township. So that's something that probably the board and Don or whoever was discussing. Hopefully we'll get something in place.
Yeah. Well, like I said, I mean, currently there's not much change that we could anticipate, even if we do make a policy, because we don't have a step wage program unless we're going to revisit that and look towards putting in the step wages. And then,
but correct me if I'm wrong, Matt, so the ORC covers township to township, but village to township or city to township would not be covered, is that correct?
It's not explicitly spelled out that way, but in my past experience when I worked at Perrysburg Township, they accepted, no matter where you came from, they accepted the hours and that.
Yeah. And I think
so it would be just up to the board, basically, to make the agreement for that.
I thought that's what, I guess, I think we should offer that as a recruiting tool to make that clear that, you know the guys or people, I'm sorry, if they're transferred from a village or a city, that, you know, they don't lose the seniority or vacation time. Formalize that in a policy.
Yeah, as I said in the update, where some of the staff are assisting with the flyers and developing some ideas for recruitment and to push out what we can.
You're moving on with your report. I needed to just talk about the step wage, and you suggested that this board hasn't taken action. I understand that the union has approached the employees and we're in discussion, or they're in discussion with that process, so we can't do anything. Our hands are currently tied.
No, the step wages was what Chief Bernhardt had even proposed, the step wages and the longevity before his retirement, and that's what I was referring to, that we had approached it before to create.
And you sat down with us not long ago, and in the meantime, we're on hold.
Okay. And then lastly, I reached out to the National Testing Network. It's explained it kind of briefly in the summary. It's the contract out with the public safety departments, and it helps broaden the search to provide professional testing and screening services. You kind of set the different criteria and tests that you want to take that they offer for the applicants. The applicants go through the website and take both the physical agility testing and as well as any computerized either in-person or virtual tests that they can do. And it helps you set the criteria for them to deliver you a list of candidates. And then it's standardized testing, so it's backed up. They have all the legal reviews. Should there be any arise that says, you know, something went wrong in the process, they have the ability to explain and defend their process or their testing and their screening. And a lot of departments are using that. They don't have a lot of statistics as far as, you know, how much experience you're getting versus new people. But it broadens, it would give us a chance to broaden the pool of getting our word out there and reach out there. We can hold specific tests for just candidates that we get, or we can have just all the applicants go through there. So it's definitely worth looking at it and getting the costs on it to help give us, hopefully, better access, expanded recruitment, and a little quicker results, maybe, because we would still be dependent upon our background checks, our interviews, and our parts of the screening and hiring process that we do. They would just kind of take care of the initial first steps for us.
Okay.
Thank you.
All right, thank you. All right, going back to our public hearing portion, our attorney did provide us with the address, so I would make a motion to amend the contract for the Toledo Express Joint Economic Development District to include the parcel located at 3455 Strayer Road, owned by 3455 Strayer LLC, as included in the district.
Second.
Seconded by Lang on the motion. Vickery?
Yes.
Lang?
Yes.
Herschel?
Yes. And then with our tree trimming, I'll make a motion to increase appropriations 1-000-120-360 quad zero contracted services by $40,000.
I'm going to second that with discussion. I am going to vote yes on this because I don't want us to be out of compliance.
Okay.
Seconded by Lang on the motion. Lang?
Yes.
Herschel?
Yes.
Vickery?
Yes.
All right.
Managing the processes tonight.
Okay. And then also under new business, we need to establish a public hearing for zoning case C-17-C-380. This is the northwest corner of 20A and Briarfield, requesting a downgrade in zoning from M1 industrial to C-2 commercial. Is that correct?
That's right? Correct.
So make a motion to establish a public hearing for December 4th at 5:30.
Second.
Seconded by Lang on the motion. Herschel?
Yes.
Lang?
Yes.
Vickery?
Yes.
Eric, those signs are up, correct?
Correct, yes.
Thank you.
You're welcome.
And then also we have a need to establish a public hearing to consider a proposed amended consent decree on C-0200602-168. Legally, we are only required to give a 30-day notice on amendment of consent decree, but after discussing this in the working session, we're going to move it out to December 18th, and we're going to notify the adjacent property owners. So I'll make a motion to establish a public hearing to consider the proposed amended consent decree for December 18th, 2023, at 5:45.
Second.
Seconded by Vickery on the motion. Vickery?
Yes.
Herschel?
Yes.
Lang?
Yes.
All right. Any other new business items? And with that, we'll move into our administrator's report. Mr. Grum.
Yes. Got a couple items. We've already taken care of the street lighting for Stony Creek Lot 4. I have provided you a 2024 calendar that outlines a proposed schedule for our meetings for next year. And we already agreed on July 4th, so.
All right. I'll make a motion to approve the 2024 meeting schedule as provided by our administrator.
Second.
Seconded by Vickery on the motion. Lang?
Yes.
Vickery?
Yes.
Herschel?
Yes.
Just to add a little something, there are four trustee meetings that would fall, am I right, that would fall on a holiday. So there will be four trustee meetings that would be taking place, am I right, Harold?
Correct.
The day after. So if it's for instance, on January, both of the trustee meetings will be taking place on Tuesdays because of the holidays, and then there's two more that will be taking place, not on a Monday. So you might want to stay on top and don't show up Monday on four of those because you'll be here by yourself.
Karen's all over, right?
Got it, Karen.
All right.
Okay. For the past 20 years, gift cards have been distributed to all township employees, zoning commission, and BZA members. More recently, JEDZ and JEDD appointees as a token of appreciation prior to the holiday season. And I'm suggesting we continue that.
I have no problem continuing the program. I don't know if your math's right. I can't.
I move to authorize $6,540 for the purchase of 59 $100 Churchill's gift cards and 16 $40 Churchill's gift cards for distribution to township employees and appointees as an appreciation gesture.
Second.
Seconded by Herschel on motion. Lang?
Yes.
Vickery?
Yes.
Herschel?
Yes.
And since 2010, we've provided a holiday luncheon for employees as well as zoning commission, BZA, so on and so forth. So I'm suggesting, requesting authorization to organize a luncheon.
Sounds great. Hopefully you make it.
Friday, December 15th. You will be here.
I move to authorize the administrator to organize a holiday luncheon for township employees and appointees.
Second.
Friday, December 15th at 12 p.m.
Second that as well.
Seconded by Lang. On the motion, Lang?
Yes.
Vickery?
Yes.
Herschel?
Yes.
The rest of my memo is information. I'd be happy to answer any questions relative to anything. Biggest thing, we received the agreement regarding the provision of countywide advanced life support emergency medical services in Lucas County. This is the agreement having to do with all the life squads. And I haven't really talked to Matt about it yet, but Matt Hireman tells us this is the final agreement. So, and I've got some clarifications that Mr. Hireman sent us as well.
I like the question and answer session on email, so yeah. They cleared things up pretty quick.
Whoever, wasn't that Washington? Somebody
yeah,
from
Washington
Township?
It's a 3-year, it's a 2-year contract with, yeah.
Yeah, it was
it's
good.
Not forever, Matt, just so you know.
Yeah.
It's evergreen.
Evergreen. The 2 years end date, if
so be it. And then
they're
going to say, hey, it'll be the final year will be 3 that we're paying for this.
Yeah.
But it started at 1, so I guess there's some improvement.
I just want to know which squad we're getting.
The bad
it's
one.
It's going to be a fair and equal lottery.
Yeah.
So we've been told. All right, that concludes our regular agenda. We do have an executive session, but is there any public comment or question by any of our public in attendance regarding any agenda items tonight? All right, I'll make a motion to adjourn from a general session into executive session to discuss a economic development, to discuss pending litigation, and to discuss employee hiring, wages, or contract negotiations.
I'll second that.
Seconded by Lang. On the motion, Herschel?
Yes.
Vickery?
Yes.
Lang?
Motion to return from executive session to general session.
I second on the motion. Herschel?
Yes.
Vickery?
Yes.
Lang? Yes.
Okay. Back in April, Chief Kevin Bernhard retired, and we began the search for a new chief. We formed a hiring committee of our Township Administrator, Harold Grimm, a retired firefighter from Oklahoma Township, Jeff Anderson, Chief Tom Bryce of Perrysburg Township, former firefighter and FBI investigator Dave Dustin, former Chief of the City of Toledo and my Oklahoma Township resident, Lou Santiago, and another former Fire Chief of City of Toledo, Mike Wolver. This committee met over a dozen times, Harold said close to 100 hours, reviewing 27 resumes, grilling some people, doing background checks, doing all kinds of things. Like I said, these five folks brought over 100 years of firefighting experience to the committee. And a couple of weeks ago, they brought us a recommendation, which kind of put on Hawes. Our legal director had some business she had to take care of, so we kind of, and she got nerve to catch an illness that everybody knows about, but it's a worldwide pandemic, but kind of put us on pause there. So the committee brought us a recommendation, and at this time, we'd like to make a motion to offer the position of Maclova Township Fire Chief to Matthew Homick, upon successful completion of the employment contract that we've already discussed and negotiated, with the salary and benefits negotiated and stated contract.
I second that motion.
Second by Lang on the motion. Vickery?
Yes.
Yes.
Lang?
Yes.
All right.
Kathleen took over because I didn't know what to do.
Matt, congratulations.
We had to do a big ceremony, so we wanted all this to happen, and then at a future meeting, we're going to make it really official.
Press release for the press?
Oh, I was going to try to interview him now.
You can.
Well, and Matt, if Don has the contract, if you... Like I said,
if you don't sign it, I guess this doesn't happen. Executing
it before you leave the building, but at this time I'll make a motion to adjourn general session and return to executive session because we have two other
reasons.
Discuss.
Yeah. Second.
Second by Lane. On the motion, Lane?
Yes.
Vickery?
Yes.
Herschel?
Yes.
I just wanted to get out of here so that I can have a
turn. Make a motion to return from general session to general session from executive session.
Second. Vickery on the motion. Herschel?
Yes.
Vickery?
Yes.
Lane?
Yes.
And we have no additional action items at this point, and I'll make a motion to adjourn.
Second.
Second by Lane on the motion. Vickery?
Yes.
Lane?
Yes.
Herschel?